We are talking about this series called The Blessed Life, and this particular week, I've got nothing, guys, so I'm not sure. I'll keep pressing. Last week we talked about, the sermon was called The Heart of the Matter. And if you remember, we took a really good look at Matthew chapter 7 and then Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to try it one more time. I got nothing. All right, you may just have to click through it. There, okay. This week it's called This is a Test. I still got nothing. So go through the next slide. Yes. I know. My wife is telling me, you got to receive the offering. We're going to do the offering at the end today. So, last week we talked about four things. I'm going to get to this first slide in just a second. But we looked at Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 6. We talked about that one verse, 6:38, where a lot of pastors use that as the motive of giving or the heart of giving. And we're going to play a little catch. Ugh. Okay, now you're definitely going to have to click through for me. And then we talked about those agricultural terms, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I don't know if that's safe to do coming back this way. Okay, thank you. Yeah, there we go. So, moving on. The principle is this. The principle last week that we kind of boiled it down to is this. Whenever you give, you're going to get back more in God's economy. Understand that it's in God's economy, you're going to get back more. However, this is key. This is key. Everybody say this is key. The goal is not to give to get, but the goal is to give to give. God wants us to be, when are you and I most like Christ? When we give. Because God so loved the world that he, yeah, we're getting it. God is a giver and he wants us to be givers. And then I made this shocking statement. God doesn't bless giving. God blesses giving with the right heart. And we talked about the heart. We took a good look at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and we talked about, I got nothing. Hey, okay, if you see me like this, I'm getting ready to click. We talked about four hearts that we needed to deal with or address. The first one was to deal with a selfish heart. And the bottom line was, until that we understand that selfish is our default, we will always struggle with the grace of giving. Point number two last week was deal with a grieving heart. And the bottom line was, until the revelation that we are only stewards is in our heart, we will always grieve and mourn when it comes to giving. And Johnny gave me $100 last week. Y'all remember that? Let's see if it works again. I gotta have lunch. Just kidding. Number three was to develop a generous heart. And the bottom line is that just like we make time for what is important, we will make provision for what is a priority. Right? Food. Whatever. DirecTV. And then point number four, develop a grateful heart. And then this one just says, gratefulness is cultivated in the recognition of God's great work in our lives, and it is demonstrated in our work in the lives of others. And having said that, let me just say thank you for your generosity and your demonstration of gratefulness. You guys responded to the request for a benevolence need, and you responded graciously, and you just stepped up, and I thank you. That tells me the Mountain Gap is a generous church, that we by and large, we have a very grateful heart. Let's pray. Father, in these moments, Spirit, lead us, guide us, direct us. Father, I ask you just to give us a revelation, fresh understanding of your word this morning. As we talk about giving, Lord, help us to always turn our attention and our focus back to you, realizing that you're at first the giver. And that you give us life. Lord, you gave us breath. You gave us a heartbeat just now. And we are forever grateful, Lord. We're thankful for the giving God that we serve. Lord, help us to reflect your heart and your life and your giving in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week's message is called Tithing is a Test. Tithing is a Test. If you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, everybody was wondering, when are you going to finally preach this verse? Well, we're going to preach this one and about a few others. That's a mathematical term. About a few others. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3. Why am I teaching this? Before we begin to read, let me give you some reasons. I want you to understand my heart here. One reason why I'm teaching this is because stewardship and discipleship are connected. They're intrinsically related. They just go together. Everybody understand? Stewardship and discipleship, they go together. They function together. They're indicators. Number two, the second reason is because there's a very real enemy to your life, and because that very real enemy either wants to keep you distracted or ignorant. Now, I'm not calling you a name. I just want you to understand. When I say ignorant, I mean not knowing. That's what I mean when I say that. The enemy of your life wants to keep you distracted or not knowing. And what do you mean distracted? Well, I mean this. The car breaks down. How are we going to pay for it? No, we didn't have the emergency fund, as Donna would teach in Financial Peace. So we have to pull from somewhere. Well, we've got teenagers, and they continue to want to eat. Imagine that. So we got to feed them. So the enemy will work to distract you in your finances, or he will work to keep you ignorant. Now, I can't get to the distraction part much. I'm trying to with my preaching and teaching this month. But I can get to the ignorant part. And that's exactly why I'm preaching and teaching this. Another reason why I'm teaching this is because I'm your pastor and I want you to know that I care for you. It's just a simple matter of my responsibility, my privilege as well, to be able to lead and teach and work through this. And finally, because I believe that God has called us to live a blessed life, not a cursed life. I believe he wants us to live a blessed life, not a cursed life. So here's the question for you. What's the best place to start? Let's start with the Lord. Matthew chapter 3. Are you there? Say, I'm there. Verse 6. I am the Lord. That's a good place to start, right? I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not only destroyed, are not already destroyed. I'll get the right word in a moment. So before we go to verse 7, let's just review this. I am the Lord, and I do not change. Does the Lord change? No. All right. If God said he's 6'5" in the Old Testament, how tall is he in the New Testament? Just really easy to understand, isn't it? If he says the tithe belongs to me in the Old Testament, does it still in the New Testament?
Yes.
I am the Lord. I do not change. Let's go on to verse 7. And I'm going to pause as we go through here and highlight some things. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned, and this is from the New Living Translation in case you're wondering, you have scorned my decrees and you have failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you. That passage gives me great hope and confidence of God's faithfulness and his love and his steadfastness. If you'll come back to me, I'll return to you. That's good news right there, guys. That ought to be underlined in your passage, in your Bible. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord of hosts, perhaps, is what yours says. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? That's called defensive posturing. It usually happens when you get called out on truth. Michael could probably attest to this as an investigator, I'm sure. People begin to get defensive when the pressure's on, don't they? When you begin to confront with truth, defensive posturing takes place. When did we ever cheat on you? Let's read on. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings, tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse. for your whole nation has been cheating me. So do you understand that disobedience just doesn't affect you? There are ramifications that extend outward to your family and to the nations. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I love this promise. This is good news right here. I will. Say, I will. That's what God says. He says, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops, they will be abundant, for I will guard them. That's good news. So the things that you invest your life into, that energy that you expend, that work that you do, God says, I will guard it. I will guard it. Because you're obedient to me, I'm going to go beyond. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to guard. I will guard you from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed. That's what I want, the blessed life. It's really just a life of obedience. It's what Ben was exhorting us to this morning, very early in the worship. He began to exhort us and encourage us into obedience. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Respond to Him. That's what He was saying. What happens when we do that? All the nations call us blessed. All the nations call us blessed. For your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. First point that I want to make, there's four of them this morning, is that tithing is a test. More specifically, tithing is a heart test. It's a test of the heart. Okay? Tithing, the word tithe means tenth. T-E-N-T-H. Tenth. Or 10%. So the word tithe means 10%. Well, you just give what the Lord lays on your heart. No, you do that after you've responded in obedience to the tithe. We're going to talk about that in a second. Let's take a test. All right? Let's take a test. The number 10, by the way, represents testing in Scripture quite often. So here we go. How many plagues were there in Egypt? 10. In other words, another way of looking at that is, how many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? It was 10. Okay? How many commandments are there? Ah, you guys are smart. How many times did Jacob's wage change? You probably may not know that, but I'll just tell you it's 10. His wage changed 10 times. How many days was Daniel tested? 10. How many virgins in Matthew chapter 25 were tested? See the pattern? I bet, kids church, you guys know these. How many days of testing are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2? 10. How many disciples are there? 12. See, that was a test. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention. You did well. So God developed tithing as a means of testing our heart, and we can look throughout Scripture. There were 12 disciples, by the way. There weren't 10. Throughout Scripture, and you will see that God used tithing as a means of testing our heart. Tithing is, I think, is the biggest test that God could put into our lives when it comes to finances. Now remember what I said. Discipleship and stewardship are connected. Some of us will question whether or not tithing is even practical or biblical. In other words, does it even matter today? And here's some of the arguments that you'll often hear against the tithe. I can't afford to tithe. Let me just put it this way. You just preach it for me. You gotta be quiet. Just kidding. You're helping me out. That's my end point in a second. Let me put it to you this way. I can't afford to tithe. That is a statement. Let me go back to the other side of it. People who tithe, this is what they say. I'm so blessed. People who don't tithe, this is what they say. I can't afford to tithe. The fact is that I've never in my life heard of a person who tithed that said, my life is cursed. Never. Everyone who I know, and we walk in that grace. We give tithe and then we give offerings. We gave an offering this morning. Patrice's offering, just what she was getting my attention for, was to go to a missionary today. We've already given off of her tithe for the month. So what we're doing now is we're giving an offering. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. And I'm not doing it just to flaunt or be flamboyant or anything of that nature. I'm just telling you there's a grace and a special blessing that comes in your life when you walk in obedience to giving, because God is a giver. The people who tithe say, I'm so blessed. And I've never met anybody that's tithed and said, my life is cursed. In fact, maybe this is point number two, I think. If you want to know the truth, you can't afford not to tithe. That's what my sister was saying up here. You can't afford not to tithe. Here's the second argument you'll get. Because I'm a believer, I can't be cursed. So in other words, Jesus bore the curse for me from the law on the cross so that I can't be cursed. What Jesus did for us, let me say it this way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 tells us that he bore our sins on the cross. Have you ever sinned? Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says that he also bore our sickness on the cross. Have you ever been sick? Just because you're a believer and he bore the curse doesn't mean that you cannot be cursed. In fact, this is not a practice that I want us to do in any way, shape, or form, okay? Bob, when we're working with prayer counselors up here, I don't want this to happen. We're going to pray for people when they come up. But I want to say something to us all. This is a bold statement, and I didn't decide until last night to put it in here. But coming up for a prayer need and us praying for you. Now, we have faith, and we're going to believe. But I want you to understand something. If you're not walking in the obedience of tithing and responding with your whole heart to the Lord through giving, you're already working under a curse. Now, that's hard for me to say that and understand that. We're still going to pray for you. If you're sick or you got family issues going on, I want you to understand something. We're going to pray for you and believe God for your miracle. But you may need to walk out of here and go to your car and get your checkbook and write a tithe check so you lift a curse off your life. Do we understand that? I say that with grace. I hope you understand my love when I say that. It's because I know for us, if there's sickness or strife in my family or something like that, if I'm not operating in the grace of giving, if I'm not responding in obedience, I'm already under a curse. Because partial obedience is, there we go, disobedience. Third argument that you'll hear is tithing is a part of the law and I'm under grace. Well, let's just take that thought and expand it a little bit more. Mike, you have your wallet with you? Oh, that's fine. All right. Got any plastic in there?
A little bit.
Sweet.
It's no good either.
It's no good either. Well, I'll just take it off your hands, brother. So if I'm walking around and Mike leaves his wallet laying on the ground and I decide, take this wallet, slip it right here, he'll never know. I'm allowed to do that, right? Because after all, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, right? And under the law, I wasn't supposed to steal, but I'm under grace now. Do you see the problem with that? There's nothing else. See, all empty. Thank you, sir. You see, that there's a breakdown in that. The law says you should not steal. We can't say, well, I'm under grace, so I can steal now. Robert Morris says this in his book, and again, this is from the Blessed Life book. So much of this teaching that I'm referencing, but he says, if it is wrong under the law, is it now right under grace? Murder was wrong under the law. Murder is still wrong. Stealing is wrong under the law. Stealing is still wrong. Adultery was wrong under the law. Adultery is still wrong. The bottom line for me, tithing isn't law. Tithing is life. If you remember, very early in my pastorate here, I began to teach a series called Life-Giving, the Life-Giving Church. That's one of the signs of life. For us, tithing and giving is a sign of life. We do it out of life, not out of law. And specifically the missionaries that we support are the missionaries that we are connected to. I don't support every missionary. I can't. Maybe I could. Maybe I need to have that faith. But right now, the missionaries that I support are the ones that I'm connected to, where there's a relationship. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read this real quickly. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20, I want you to really take a look at. "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Remember, Malachi was a prophet. Jesus is saying, I didn't come to abolish what he said. I didn't come to abolish it. "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying to us that if your righteousness doesn't exceed, everybody say exceed. Exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you won't make it to heaven. So the bottom line for us as believers is this. The righteousness of grace always extends past the righteousness of the law. What do you mean by that, Rick? The righteousness of grace always extends beyond the righteousness of the law. Under the law, it said, you shall not murder. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, don't even get angry. You see that? There's a higher standard. You shall not, under the law, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, you shall not even look at a woman lustfully. You see that there's a higher standard that's being called to. We're being called to a higher standard. So here's the deal. Tithing is part of the law. I'm under grace. Awesome! Because that, you know what that means? You're living according to a higher standard than the law. We're going to look in a moment at some scripture that points out how tithing is biblical. But I just want to rest right here, and I want us to understand something. If you're giving, it's so funny, a friend of mine who works for In Touch Ministries, Dr. Charles Stanley, this morning, I looked at Facebook right before I left to come over here, and he linked an article. And the article's title was, "I Stopped Tithing, and You Should Too." And the message was exactly this. It was, you know what? The tithe is only 10%. I'm not called to give just 10%. I'm called to give my whole heart. Because the righteousness of grace supersedes the righteousness of the law. There's a higher standard that I'm called to. How many of you get paid once a week? You don't have to answer that. How many of you get paid once a month? Yep, you know what that means? Once a month, Patrice has a test. I get paid twice a month. Twice a month, there's a test going on in my life. If you get paid once a week, you have a weekly test. Will you pass it?
Every time we get paid, we take a test. The test shows us who we're going to give thanks to for the increase. For some of us, it's Visa. For some of us, it's GMAC. Second point, tithing is biblical. I'm going to read through a lot of passages, so just write these down. Perhaps you don't think that tithing is biblical. Let me just write these down real quickly. They're all going to be right here for you. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he, this is Abram, gave him a tenth of all. So according to Galatians, Melchizedek is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Galatians teaches us that. Hebrews chapter 7 also unpacks a lot of the typology of Melchizedek. So you can read through Hebrews 7 and Galatians and find how Abram is our spiritual father, and he tithed to him. By the way, that passage was before the law by about 430 years. So that whole was a part of the law thing. There goes the carpet right out from underneath that argument. Because this happened 430 years before the law. Genesis 28, 22. You want to write this one down. Just one passage. This has to do with Jacob. "And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." So this is Jacob giving a tenth 400 years before the law to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. Write those down. "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance." And we've read this one before already, first week. "And you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all of the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." The present New Testament parallel of that would be the church. Deuteronomy 26, verses 13 through 15. Same chapter, a little bit further down. "Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed," say, "I have removed the holy tithe from my house." Understand what he says. The tithe is what, according to this? It's holy. "I have removed the tithe, the holy tithe, from my house. This tenth that belongs to the Lord, I have taken it out of my house. I don't own it anymore. I don't possess it anymore. And also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless." Oh, this is so good. This is so good. This is why, can I just tell you, the church is God's. This is where I get so frustrated with government and regulation and entitlement. And I don't preach this because I usually stay away. But can I tell you, the church is supposed to be the answer for everything. Amen. The church is supposed to be the answer. Honestly, I shouldn't have to stand up here and ask for a benevolence offering. I believe the Lord is going to take us to a place where when we see a benevolent need in our community, there's not going to be a plea from the pastor, because there's going to be an abundance in the house, and we're going to say, yes, there it goes. Amen. Somebody ought to get happy about that. I'm telling you, I believe that day is coming, church, where we are a blessed church and we see a benevolent need. Someone with a medical bill that just caught them off guard. And we say, you know what? They're a part of our body of believers, or maybe they're not. The Lord is speaking to our heart. We're going to give to that. We can do that right there. Why? Because there's an abundance in the house. That's what this is saying. Let me read it again. "I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and I've given them to the Levite," those who serve the Lord in his house, "the stranger and the fatherless and the widow." according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments. It means I haven't sinned. I'm following exactly what you're telling me to do, Lord. Nor have I forgotten them. Now get this. Well, I'm going to walk out on ice here. I'm just going to hold my tithe because I'm not happy with something the pastor did. I've never heard that in this church, but I have heard it of churches. I've never heard it, honestly. Two things. That's a horror story for a pastor. It's even more of a horror story for you, for whoever, not you, but whoever does that. Because the tithe is holy. That's what I just read. God put it in there. Never heard that, okay? So thankfully, that's me just pulling files out from working with churches in our denomination before or serving in churches. Secondly, let me say this. I don't know what you give. I have not looked at giving records for this church. I want you to understand that. I'm preaching this series because, and I wanted to do this intentionally. Now, I plan to because I want to see where, but I haven't yet. Now, you say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't do that. It actually is an indicator. I haven't done it yet. So everything I'm preaching right now, I'm doing off a clean blank slate. I don't know what you give. I don't know how you give. I don't know when you give. I don't know what you give. I know the Mountain Gap this month, as I've been preaching, and I've got to give glory to God here. All glory. Because I have been in churches where I served in a church one time where we went through a series on giving, and the giving went down. Now, you got to understand, I had to hear the Lord say, this is what I want you to teach, because that was my compass, you know. I was like, okay, Lord, I remember we did that and what happened. Can I tell you something? This month, Mountain Gap, you have responded more generously and more graciously, I think, ever than since I've been here in the 8 or 9 months that I've been here. Yes, God, I'm so happy about that. I'm so thankful to the Lord. Hallelujah. God be the glory. God be the glory. To God be all the glory. So I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. This is verse 14. In other words, when times were stressful, I didn't take the tithe, which is holy, and consume it. Nor have I removed any of it for any unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, my God, and I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people. Here's what he's saying. I've removed the holy tithe from my house, and I've taken it to your house. That's where I put it. The tithe, which for us is Mountain Gap Church. If you're visiting and you have a home church, it's in your home church. It is not, understand, it is not, my tithe doesn't go to the missionaries that I support. That's my offering. Our tithe, Patrice's tithe, doesn't go to the Red Cross or some teacher organization that helps children do something. Question for you. If Jesus said tithe, would you do it? Everything I've been dealing with is Old Testament. I need some New Testament proof, Rick. Let's talk about that. Matthew chapter 23:23. Write that one down. Matthew 23:23. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Really not a good way to start out a sentence when Jesus is talking to you. You pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Those you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So here's the bottom line for me. This I'm just going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. This is what works for Rick. If there's not another passage in the Bible that indicates to me the tithe, there's one. That's enough right there. Jesus said, you ought to have done that, but you shouldn't have neglected the others. You ought to have tithed the spices, but you shouldn't have neglected mercy and faith, justice. If this is the only scripture in the Bible on tithing, it's enough for me. Let's talk about the third point. Tithing is a benefit. 2 Chronicles 31, verses 4 through 10. I'm reading a lot of Bible today. I hope you're writing these down. This one's not on your screen, so if you want to write it down, write it down. 2 Chronicles 31, verses 4 through 10. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites. That they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Do you see what that passage says? Contribute to the priests and the Levites. I'm not asking you to give to me. You don't give to me. When you give a tithe, you're doing so out of worship and obedience, but you're giving it to the house of the Lord. But when you do that, here's what it does. It frees up the priests so that they can devote themselves to what the Lord is saying to them. That they may devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So when you give your tithe, there's a benefit to it. Understand, when you tithe and when you give offerings, you give me, I'm going to say it, the opportunity to not have to stress and worry about how we're going to pay the electrical bill this month. And I'm able to then say, okay, Lord, we trust you in this. All the bills are going to be met. Every bill is going to be paid. And we're going to have an abundance in the house of the Lord so that we can meet needs. I believe that's scriptural. So I don't know that I want my tithe going to the electrical bill. Let's continue on, verse 5. And we'll come back to that in a second. As soon as the commandment was circulated, everybody say, as soon as?
As soon as.
Yeah. Was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance. Isn't that awesome? They brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all of the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. Did you see the word abundant in there twice like I did? Isn't that awesome? Verse 6, and the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep and also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid in heaps. They laid them in heaps, y'all. Y'all. They laid them in heaps. What kind of heaps? Let's read on. In the third month, they began. Everybody say third month. Now say began. Watch this. They began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the... Does your Bible say seventh month like mine? Wow. They finished in the seventh month, and when Hezekiah and the leaders came and they saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people. And then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, he's like, what's up with all these heaps? You know? I'm looking around, I got heaps everywhere. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings. Everybody say, since. If you're wondering why I'm holding out on receiving the tithe and offering, because I wanted to lay a foundation this morning for why you and I respond in obedience to giving during that time. This is why. Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. You know what he just said? Since the people started responding in obedience, I hadn't had to worry about the power bill. I hadn't had to worry about the mortgage payment. I hadn't had to worry about meeting that benevolent need in that community 30 miles away where their tornado went through. And there's a sister church of ours that needs a roof. You know what? We got $6,000 extra. Let's pay for their roof. Let's bless our brothers and sisters. Can we do that, Rick? Yeah, we can. Because God is calling us to live a blessed life, not a struggle life. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't want to struggle anymore, y'all. Y'all. Struggle. I'm not created to struggle. Now, I'm not saying there won't be a struggle in this life. But I know this one thing. I can walk in obedience. And I can know that my God is for me. Who can be against me? Some of those songs we were singing, He's going to meet every need that I have. My faith is totally in Him. He said this, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat. You know what that means? It means we had Wednesday night suppers and we just took a donation. People give whatever they need to. What are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. Into the house of the Lord, we've had enough to eat and we have plenty left. You know what that means? Boy, that means you can go back for seconds. I know I'm kind of putting this on a very basic level, but that's kind of where I wanted to preach and teach today. I want us to understand there's blessing in this. There is benefit in this. We've had plenty of left, for the Lord has blessed His people. And what is left is this great abundance. What is left? What is left, Hezekiah? You see what's left? You see all these heaps? The Lord's blessed us. And this is all the abundance that we have. We'll bless you. You're going to one of our colleges? You're going to Emmanuel College? Yeah, we'll give you a $2,000 scholarship. Why? Because we want to bless you. I'm putting some vision. I hope I'm speaking some vision. I'm not just trying to be hypothetical, folks. I'm from my heart, I'm telling you. This is a message. This is a message that the world needs to hear this message. Your Christian brothers and sisters, they need to hear this message. You leave them planted where they're at in their church. I'm not telling you to uproot them and bring them to Mountain Gap. But you go back there and you say, hey, Josh, I need a copy of today's message. And by the way, we'll have some copies of the first week's message. They're already ready. He just gave me the thumbs up. That's going to be a part of the new members class. The heart of this passage is that when God's people begin to tithe, God begins to bless. There's two results of tithing. I don't know if that's on there or not. Yeah, two obvious results of tithing. Number one, it blesses God's people. It creates blessing for God's people. And number two, it brings provision into God's house. Do you enjoy the meals here at Mountain Gap Church? Well, you hadn't had a meal in a while. I'm talking about the spiritual food. Came into town late Friday night and I got a great report about face-to-face on Friday nights. If you enjoy face-to-face, please understand this. Someone paid for that meal. Someone paid for those utilities to be turned on, those resources to be purchased. Your boys are part of the Rangers. Someone's paying to help out so that we can have the Wednesday night boys program. A lot of you guys give. A lot of you do. I have to know that because I'm looking at the evidence of it this month. And like I said, I don't know who gives what. But let me just get real with you for a minute. Would you ever dream of going to a restaurant and not paying for the meal? No. And I understand that as you're growing as a disciple of Christ, this is a real test. This whole tithe thing is a real test. Would you ever dream of going to a restaurant? I'm going to wrap up here in just a moment. and saying, we went yesterday. Yesterday was my wife's birthday. Y'all say happy birthday. So we took her out to a restaurant yesterday. I'm not going to tell you how old she has been. Brother, I can't even remember. That's a file that I like delete immediately. She's 29. A, B, C, something, I don't know. So we went to a restaurant yesterday and they brought us the check. And here's what happened. I paid the bill. Now I'm going to get really practical with this because I've seen this happen in churches and I don't know if it's happening, or I think it probably is happening here, but to what extent? Boy, when they brought that bill, I had to pay it all, brother. Every bit of it. And here's the thing, they didn't even ask me where I wanted that bill, where I wanted that money to go. They took my money. Gladly. Here's what I know, though. They took that money. You know what they did with it? They paid for that manager. And they paid for the utilities. They paid their taxes. I hope they did. I hope they do. They paid their insurance. They paid for that produce truck that rolled up the day before to bring fresh produce. In other words, when I paid that bill, I paid for all of that. Actually, I'm kind of thankful because it made it really simple. All I had to do was just pay one bill and they take care of where it goes. I'm going to walk out on ice here again. I want to encourage us as believers. When you bring your tithe into the storehouse, bring the tithe into the storehouse and trust that the Lord will make sure that it goes where it needs to go. In other words, here's what I'm saying, and I do know this because I look at the fund balance for different ministries. Okay, so I know that there's a fund balance for get back here because I'm starting to echo. There's a fund balance for face to face. There's a fund balance for benevolence. There's a fund balance for rangers, for girls. There's a fund balance for youth. So you guys all there. And what I hope, and I don't know this for sure, but what I hope is happening, is that people are tithing. And this is what I want to encourage you to do. Tithe and then give an offering to those places. You see, when I was talking about move the mountain a few weeks ago, I want to go back and qualify that, make sure I'm clear. I don't want you to bring your tithe and designate it for move the mountain. Now, I know that we as a church tithe to the conference, 10%. Because I've served in the conference, I have the privilege of receiving the I've been the recipient of conversations with regard to churches that tithe at the conference. You're killing us. I've heard that. Here's what I know. I know the Mountain Gap Pentecostal Holiness Church is a Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I'm just going to say this unequivocally. We will continue to tithe because that's what we're called to do. God can bless that. I believe that. Now, here's the deal. If I give it as designated, Rick. See, if I give my... let's just say I get $5,000 a month in income. If I give my $500 to the youth, then they get to keep all $500. But if I tithe it, well, then there's only $450. But there's blessing. There's blessing. There's blessing. Out of what, Rick? Out of walking in obedience. Do we understand that? Keeping it real, is that all right? Yes. All right. Y'all know in the last few weeks I've been using cash for some of my illustrations. First week, y'all remember, I used the 10 $1 bills. There's $10 there. That's what I used. Last week, and I don't have last week's illustration with me. Y'all figure that out. But last week, I used $100. And y'all remember that, right? Well, this week, and so just in keeping with the trend of everything getting larger and larger and larger, this week I had to pull out. Because I couldn't get my hands on, how much money was it? $3,000. So here we go. We got $3,000. Are we good? All right, let me give you the fourth benefit. I'm going to wrap up. This is going to be fun. Tithing is an expression of love and commitment. So let's just do this little illustration. And I need a few guys to help me out. So, Mike, I'm going to let you. You count it. Make sure there's $1,000 there, Monopoly money. And you take $1,000. Joe, you take $1,000. Thank you, sir. So I've just given $3,000 out. $1,000. Is it all $3,000 there? Yeah? Joe? Is Jennifer counting for you? I'm just kidding, brother. just messing. So let's just say that I am going on a trip. And here's the deal. I have given each of these guys $1,000 each. Now, here's what I want you to do, guys. I'm going to give you $1,000 every month. Joe, we good with that? Good, Bob? Mike? I'm going to give you three guys $1,000 a month. But I need you to do me a favor. Patrice, come here, babe. I need you to help take care of my wife, and I need you. I'm going to give you each $1,000 a month, but I want you each to give her $100 a month. Can you do that? Okay, so go ahead and get your $100 from each of them. So the first month, she does great. Go ahead. And she receives $100 from each person. But the second month, and I'm just going to be the courier from here forward. The second month, Mike, things get a little tough. So he's not able to give her $1,000. So he just gives her $50. Mr. Erickson here, he's not even able to do that. Things are really tough. Frisbees are expensive these days, if y'all haven't bought one. So you get about $20 out of Bob. So, however, Joe is obedient, and Joe gives the $100. Thank you, Joe, being obedient. Now, my wife comes to me, and she says, you told them to give me $100 a month each, and a couple of them are a little cheap. She would never say that, y'all. That's pastor's words. That's not my wife's words. Alyssa, I apologize for tearing up the Monopoly money. So here's the deal. When I find out that these two guys haven't been helping out my wife in the way they're supposed to with the finances, I'm not giving you guys $1,000 a month anymore. In fact, I need it all, brother. I'm going to take everything that you have, and I'm going to put it in the hands of this guy over here. If it were only real, I know, man. I'm going to take everything, I'm going to put it in his hands because he's faithful to obey. Tithing is an expression of love and commitment. Jesus has left. his bride. If you're a believer, you're part of his bride. And he's asking you and I, will you take care of her? Will you see that the needs are met? Will you bless her in a way that she doesn't have to worry? In fact, where she can be a blessing to others. Jesus has left. He's coming back. But in the meantime, we have this awesome opportunity to respond. Not with 10%. I'm not asking you to give 10%. I'm asking you to give your whole heart. Because that costs more. That's a greater sacrifice. See, 10% is easy. For some of us in this room, 10% is just like where we've been living. That's baseline living. I've done this so long. So I get cracked up, you know, because I served in the conference or still do. I see, probably shouldn't. Anyway, so. Some people are just really, I'm trying to think of whether to say this, because I know I've got minister friends in here who tithe. but some guys, they tithe and they send their tithe to the conference, and so their income might be like $1,234.56. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, keeping it easy for me. And so their tithe is $123.46, because they have to round that penny up. And it's just like all the way down to the tenth. And that's okay if that's what you do, but for some of us, understand this, that's all we do. And it has become not an issue of the heart anymore or a response out of obedience and worship. It has become a going through the motions. Randy Alcorn, he's an author. He writes this statement. He says, "Giving affirms Christ's lordship. It dethrones me and it exalts him." That's a good statement. Giving takes me off the throne of my checkbook. It takes me off of the throne of job security and trusting that it's all about me or that I can make it happen, David. That it's up to me. Tithing is a test. It's a heart test. Karen, would you come up and play softly, please? I want to ask the ushers, you guys come on forward, and we're going to receive this morning's show. I'm going to need that money back because I'll give you the $10. As we prepare to give this morning, you guys come on up here and just stand for a moment. I'm gonna preach for a little bit, but I'm not going to preach long. As we give this morning, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And as we give this morning, Jesus is learning about us. He's learning about our character. How you respond in these moments when these gentlemen, and I'll just tell you, coolest thing, when I'm going to talk to these guys because I know they'll listen. Y'all listen too, right? Y'all listen and put your hand up. All right, Miss Faye, you got it. That was close enough, Michael. He coughed instead. So when we went to Dallas this summer to represent Mountain Gap at the General Conference, we went to a church, the church that the guy that I'm using a lot of this book from, Gateway Church. And their budget, they've got, I don't know, half dozen campuses maybe or something like that. I'm not sure. Their budget is in the millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, it's amazing. Blows my mind. Like 18 million, I think. Something like that. Here's the thing. I was amazed. There wasn't an usher receiving an offering at all. There wasn't a receptacle. There wasn't a basket. There wasn't an offering plate. There wasn't a bucket. There was, however, as you walked out, there was a receptacle. And as these people either walked in or they walked out, they simply dropped their tithes in this box I just thought to myself, and I'll be honest, guys, I've known pastors that have done that, and it didn't turn out so well for them. You know what I'm saying? Financially. I hate to say that, but it's just real. It didn't work. And I'm not saying we're doing that at Mount Gap. We're going to continue to do what we're doing right now until the Lord lays something different on my heart. But I was amazed at the level, get this. I was amazed at the level of maturity that I saw because of that. Because there wasn't any hype or push by a pastor trying to guilt people in, and I hate that. I hope you, if you feel like I've done that in any way, shape, or form this morning or ever, please follow Matthew 18 and come to me. And let's sit down and talk about it. Because that's certainly not my, it's not my heart. But I was amazed at the level of maturity in regard to discipleship that I saw. These people got it. They understood that discipleship and stewardship are connected. They hold hands. They're married. They're indicators of one another. Just like this wedding band is an indicator. They got it. They just got it. And I was amazed at that, y'all. Jesus is learning what we think of him as you give this morning. Okay, this one just hits home. Because I used my life as an illustration this morning, these three guys that helped me. Jesus is learning what we think of his bride. How much we respect him, how much we love him. So what are we communicating to God through our finances? I want to ask you that question. That's something I want you to wrestle with. I want to ask for a volunteer next week. I'm thankful I got through this whole message. Next week, I would love for one person, this is going to take some guts, if you would be willing to testify, and you don't have to put dollars and cents, but if you would be willing, and I want you to pray about it, to testify about the Lord's faithfulness or whatever when it comes to tithing and giving in your life. Would you do me a favor and call me this week or see me right after service? Because here's the deal. I want the body to encourage one another. So that you know it's not just pastor up here. There's other people that walk in this. So I'm asking you to think and pray about that. If you're willing to do that, please get with me this week. Final question I would say is, or the final thing I want to say is, instead of asking how much should I be giving, let's flip that coin over and let's start asking how much should I be keeping? How much should I be giving? Ask the question, how much should I be keeping? How much should I be keeping? Lord, you've blessed us. So tithing is all of those things. It's a benefit. It's biblical. It's an expression of our love and our commitment to the Father. And so the altar call, if you will, this morning is receiving the tithes and offerings. Karen, get you to a place where you can sing in a minute, okay? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to give. And I hope, my prayer is this, guys. My prayer is that going forward, this will be a foundational message. That when we come to this point in the service, we kind of play back the highlight reel of this day. And we say, you know what? This isn't just I'm paying a bill. This isn't I paid for the electricity. This is an expression of my love. This is me giving back because God has given me everything. He's wonderfully blessed me. Let's pray.